Good morning. Well, I'm Claire, for those that don't know me, and I'm one of the leaders here at Ashford Church as well, which is great. So I want to personally say good morning to you all this morning. This morning I've given this title for my short talk, Living a Life That Makes a Difference. And today, like we've already known, the calendar is marking this day when we remember and celebrate mothers and the impact that they've had on our lives. But today I want to say that the message I'm going to talk about includes us all today. It's the positive contribution we can all make in the lives of people that are around us. So that's where we're heading. I'd like to introduce you to two ladies. You may know their names. You may have heard of them. They're quite famous, actually, over in America. But there was one day that Queen Victoria of England asked a lady called Helen Keller. And Helen Keller was an American author. She was a political activist at times, and she was a lecturer as well. And the Queen asked a fascinating question when they first met. The Queen asked how she could have accomplished so much in her life, even though she was both blind and deaf. And Miss Keller's reply may surprise you. She said, if it had not been for Anne Sullivan, who was an American teacher, the name of Helen Keller would have remained unknown. Now, this is a little quote, I think it's coming up next. This is a quote from Helen before I tell you all about Anne. She says this, I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God. Remember, she was blind and deaf. So let's move to, you can flick back to the picture, actually. So Anne Sullivan, she too had her share of physical challenges. A childhood fever had left her almost sightless. She spent years in a mental institution outside of Boston in America. She had behavioral problems, displayed violent outbursts towards anyone who had come near her. Her caregivers even concluded that she was probably insane. Just as Helen Keller had Anne Sullivan make a difference in her life, Anne Sullivan had someone who believed in her. In her case, it was an elderly nurse who took a liking to this unfortunate girl with emotional problems. She showered her with kind words, with patience, and an attitude of love. It made all the difference in Anne's life. She gradually responded to the kind nurse's gifts of food and her nurturing words of love and encouragement. And Anne responded and began to heal emotionally. Her bursts of anger became fewer and less violent. Then the day arrived when this troubled girl was given wings of freedom to the outside world. The kind elderly nurse had transformed that life. Anne Sullivan blossomed into a young woman with a burning desire to serve others. It was a transformed Anne Sullivan who turned on the light for her student, Helen Keller, in her dark and dismal world. And just as Anne Sullivan was shown love and compassion by the elderly nurse, she then wanted to, in turn, love and have compassion for Helen and for many others. Well, they are true stories, and they're inspiring, I think, and they challenge us to live a life that makes a difference. And if you think about it, many individuals have made significant contributions in your life. What might they be? Why don't we just pause for 1 second? Who's made a significant contribution in your life? Let's have a think for a minute. Obviously, our parents often make the biggest difference in our lives, but others do too. Perhaps it's a friend, might be a sibling, a relative, a teacher, or a member of the church. We often owe all these people a big debt of gratitude. But for many of us here this morning, they would say that God has made the biggest difference in their lives. It could be stated, if you pop this up, Stephen, that God is in the life that makes a difference business. God is in the life that makes a difference business. Jesus Christ lived a life that has made the most profound difference any life could make. He died for all humanity in order for their individual sins to be forgiven. What if he had not shown immense love and patience and forgiveness towards us? What if he had not done that? Our lives would not be changed. We would have no way out of our lives of sin and what we would call spiritual darkness. God loves us and has wonderful plans for our lives. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for our sin. We can have our sins forgiven and be restored to a right relationship with God and receive the gift of salvation. And for many of us here, we'd say, isn't that amazing news? That's great news. So what about us? Are we trying to live a life that will make a difference in the lives of others? I think this is certainly a really good godly goal. In the Bible, a lady, Mary of Bethany, performed a good work on Jesus Christ, who was about to be crucified, when she poured expensive, fragrant oil on his feet. And we're going to read that together. Matthew 26 in the New Testament, from verse 6. It's up on the screen. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. "What a waste," they said. "It could have been sold for a high price and money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Her example made a difference to Christ during those last few days of his life. She honored him. Since such an anointing pictured a royal anointing appropriate for the Messiah. And as we just read, Jesus Christ said that Mary's acts of selfless service would be remembered for others to learn from. Jesus Christ was a walking sermon to all in his presence. And I believe that's our challenge now. How do we follow in his footsteps? Jesus Christ taught that we need to live a life of good fruit. I think there's this coming up. It says in John 15:8, it says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." We should not underestimate the impact positive acts make in the lives of others. And we may never know in this age to what degree our example has inspired and encouraged other people. Well, I want to invite my, she's my mother-in-law, actually. I was going to say good friend, Molly Bell. I just want to chat to her about something called Ready Call. Why don't we say hello to Molly? Welcome to the stage, hello. Molly. So you set up something called Ready Call, and so kind of what is it, and how long has this thing called Ready Call been going?
Okay, well, in the village of Ravenshead, there's quite a lot of elderly people, which isn't unusual for a lot of places, actually. But it was 23 years ago that somebody came to look at how elderly people in Ravenshead were being cared for, if there was something more that we could do to make sure that they were looked after better. And one of the suggestions was that there should be a good neighbours scheme that would actually help people, particularly with lifts to get to appointments, things that they needed to get to. But if they hadn't got somebody who could take them, it was going to be difficult. But also things like helping with shopping and prescriptions, those sort of things, that it would be a really good thing if Ravenshead had got this good neighbour scheme. And so for some slightly bizarre reason, the lady who was looking at this came. She wanted to talk to the church leaders in the village, so she came to hopefully talk to Graham, who actually wasn't in. And after that, she never really tried very hard to talk to Graham because she was talking to me. And for some reason, they asked me if I would coordinate a good neighbour scheme that would make sure that the older folks in the village had always got a good neighbour who could help them when they were stuck.
That's brilliant. So how long ago was that?
That was 23 years ago.
23 years.
And over that period of time, you asked me when you said, how many people have you helped? And I thought, I haven't got that number. But I can tell you the names, I'm not going to, of 350 people that we've helped, some of them occasionally, some of them very, very regularly, like weekly or with hospital appointments that come up very, very frequently. We've helped people a lot. The diary is quite busy sometimes.
And so how do you facilitate that in terms of volunteers?
Right. Well, amazingly, when we began, we had 50 people who volunteered to help, which was staggering to everybody. And over the years, as people have become unable to help, and we've looked to recruit new people, we have always got about 50 volunteers. Now, with any volunteer list, there's a handful of people who are very regular, faithful, busy volunteers who are helping a lot. But I like a long list because there's always going to be somebody, I believe, who, if I ask them to do something, even if they haven't done anything all year, if I ask them to do something, they may be the person that's available on that particular day.
That's brilliant. And obviously, Ready Call is a good idea.
Yes.
But in terms of it being God's idea and kind of your faith and where you are with that, how does that all kind of work together? Where have you seen maybe your faith and God being part of this journey and process of having Ready Call as a neighbour scheme?
Right. Well, although I was a little scared when I got the job and got the phone number, because it's got its own phone line that people could ring asking for help. And I at first wondered if they were actually, would they dare to ring, because you make yourself a bit vulnerable if you're saying, I need help, can you help me? That was one of my fears. The other one was that nobody would ring. My other fear was that everybody would ring. That was my other fear. I'm thinking, I've only got 50 volunteers, for goodness sake, and where they're all busy doing other things as well. But God has been very faithful. I did actually know when I got the job of coordinating it that God was in this, because I did want to be a part of making my community a community that really cared for one another, and which that has proved to be the case. And we have got a very good reputation as being people who will do what they say they'll do, people who are happy to help, people who do it willingly and with a good smile and are nice. We have a reputation for being nice, which is excellent, isn't it? And I suppose if you want to know something about the faith part of it for me, we call it a good neighbours scheme. You may be recalling now, as I'm talking about neighbours in the Bible, if you do a little quick word search for neighbours in the Bible. One day, a guy who was a scholar, a learned guy, asked Jesus a very important question about eternal life. He wanted to know about eternal life. And Jesus said, well, you're a scholar, so you tell me, answer me, what does the Bible say you need to do? And he said, well, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And then this guy wanted to know a bit more about this neighbour thing. And so Jesus told a story, as he often did, and he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the story said to this this scholarly guy, the story said that a neighbour to you is somebody who's kind to you. And he told this guy to go and be a neighbour. And it wasn't just about his faith and his love for God. It was also part of the answer to the eternal life question, was loving God, but also loving your neighbour. And your neighbour, you could be a neighbour to somebody who needed help. And so that's at least 350 people who have found that there's somebody in Ravenshead who will be to them a good neighbour.
That's brilliant. Brilliant. And just to finish on, I've been talking about, and we've been looking at, you know, how to impact people's lives, how we and through God can help other people. We can make a difference. We can just be there. It's not about all the big sometimes.
No.
So in terms of, you've said it's been going a long time, so yes. I know this was a hard question, but a story or one that really stands out where you just thought, you know, that was a real impactful, or that having Redicall around made that difference, that person.
Okay, well, I would like to believe that every single lift and every single prescription actually rescued somebody who was stuck and didn't quite know who could do that for them at that particular moment. I've done some funny things in my time. I've taken a denture in my pocket to the dentist because it needed fixing, but the actual owner of it didn't actually need to go, so I could just take the denture with me. And I've done things like that.
Try that, couldn't I?
I've done for one lady, the significant thing that I helped to do. Her house was in a mess. She wasn't able to care for it. To be honest, it was quite smelly, and there was everything all over everywhere, and she needed the doctor, and she could not bring herself to allow me to ring the doctor when her house was in that mess because she was ashamed. And so I took someone with me, and we tidied up the house and made that a place where it was okay for the doctor to visit. And there was another lady, since I'm going for two instead of one, there was another lady who, when her husband died, was stuck for somebody who could go with her to the funeral directors. And so I took her, and we sat there talking to the funeral directors, who said, you actually need to go to the hospital for this. You have to go to the... she had to go get a certificate from there, and then you can come back here. So we did a round of all the things you needed to do. And I found myself sitting there with this lady, helping her to choose the coffin for her husband, because she hadn't got anybody else who could do that. And I believe that at that moment, I was Jesus to that lady.
Outstanding. Brilliant. Why don't we just thank Molly for that? That's amazing. And like Molly said, there will be so many of those types of stories. Well, as I conclude, I want to bring it all back round to Jesus, the one who I believe has made the greatest difference in history. His impact is undeniable. Jesus' approach was to be involved in people's lives. It's right the way through Scripture, we see how Jesus was just involved with people's lives. The Bible is clear that Christians are supposed to live out their faith in word and in deed. And I think we heard that from the front a minute ago with Molly. In James chapter 2, it says, faith without works is dead. This means that living in a way that reflects our faith in God and his abounding love for each and every person. It means that we are marked for a purpose, to share his goodness with those around us, and to join with the Holy Spirit in what God is doing to build his kingdom here on earth. And if we're seeking to follow this model, to follow what Jesus did, then God wants us to make a difference in the lives of our neighbours, in the lives of our friends and family, in the lives of those that we work with as well. So I would suggest that as we go from here today, that we go and we make an impact. And I believe we can be people who God uses to transform somebody else's life. I'm going to pass over to Zoe, who is going to take us forward with our Malawi team.
Brilliant. Thank you, Claire. That's great, isn't it? Really challenging. There's so many ways that lots of us can make a difference, but we've got a team of people who this week are going to be heading to Malawi to try and make a difference there. We're really excited to be sending them. They're going, we're staying, but we're part of their journey. A lot of people in the room have helped support that team by fundraising. And the good news is that enough money now has been raised to send that team to that trip. Thank you to everyone who's contributed. If you would still like to contribute, you're really welcome, and that'll go towards a fund to be able to send another team out in the future. Martin did his bike ride last week. I think you raised over £500 in the end, did you, Martin? So well done, Martin. 50 miles. He rode on his 60 miles for 60 years. That's what it was, wasn't it, Martin? So that was brilliant. If you've sponsored someone and you've not coughed up yet, maybe you could do that today. That would be brilliant. I'm going to get the whole team up in a minute, but those of you who are perceptive will have noticed that over the last few weeks we've had all of the team come to the front to share what they've been doing, two at a time, but there's two people who haven't yet shared with us about them. So Matt and Janet, would you mind just coming up first? They don't know about this. Matt told me what to do and they didn't tell me this bit. but we want to hear from you guys. Janet, perhaps, could you tell us the thing that you're most looking forward to and something that perhaps you particularly think you're going to find challenging? That would be great.
Okay. I'm looking forward to going to see Sam. I've had the privilege of being able to go and see Pam and Gary when they were out in France. I then went and saw Neil and Lucy and the family when they were in Albania. And for me, going and seeing them and seeing what he's doing on the ground is one particular thing. But also, I went to Malawi 13 years ago, and I've had in my head, that was then, this is now, they're not connected other than the Malawi bit. Until I discovered that a couple that I went with, or who we went out together with last time, actually know Sam, they've met Sam, because after they'd been out last time, they went and lived in Malawi for 2.5 years. Not while Sam was there, but they've met him since. And he then told me that they were instrumental in establishing Hope Mission, which is where we're going to serve this time. And I just got really excited about the fact that God has connected the two things for me, at least. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what other connections God makes with what we did last time, which is nothing like we're doing this time. And as far as I know, there's nobody connected with the two, but I just have an excitement about that. And the thing I'm sort of slightly nervous about is Matt and I are going to be doing some leadership training with two groups of church leaders. When I was there last time, I did preach, and I really enjoyed preaching and having a translator. There was something, I don't know about it, it was just good fun. That's the only way I can say it. But I'm slightly daunted this time because we are going to be obviously teaching with a translator, which is a little challenging for me at this moment. But we're then going to have a discussion with them about the things we take. And that is slightly freaking me out about how, you know, that whole discussion across translators. So if you want to pray for me, particularly for that, that would be great.
Brilliant. Thanks, Janet. I was going to ask Matt a little bit about what you two are doing particularly. So you've said a little bit, but could you expand on that at all, Matt?
Okay, yeah. Well,
tell us your thoughts and feelings.
It's one of the things that we feel like we understand part of what we're going to do, but we're also very aware, I think all of us who are going, that we're going to experience some things out there that we're not going to really know until we actually arrive. So Janet mentioned that when we saw the list of things, because we're really going out there to serve the people. So we've said to them, you know, what can we do to make a difference? What can we do to help you? Recognizing that none of us have all the answers. So we firmly believe that while we're there, we're going to learn an incredible amount. Probably, you know, I guess most of us think we're going to learn more than we give. But actually, there is that sense that we're going to do the things that they've asked us to do. And when the list came through and there's a number of things on there, it said leadership training of church leaders. And then we just allocated allocated some names to it. I think it was random. And Janet and I ended up with the opportunity to do that. So, you know, it's an incredible privilege for us to be able to do that. We feel like we're going to serve. We've got a plan together, but we know that that might change. And I guess, so what we're going to do for four days while we're there is to have the opportunity to hopefully help, serve, do some training, get them thinking, and stand alongside leaders, basically, and say, how can we help you? How can we encourage you? How can we strengthen you? And how can we pray for you? So we feel that there's a big important part. It's not just saying, these are all the answers, or this is all the explanations to how to lead well, or how to help people to lead well, but actually we want to pray for people. So a key part of it is that whole spiritual aspect where we believe that actually we'll just say, we haven't got all the answers, but we know God who does, and so we'd love to pray for you.
Brilliant. So can we get the rest of the team up here as well? We want to pray for you. We believe this is a really big part of our year of transformation, yeah, in 2019. That this is going to be a time of transformation for the people these guys touch in Malawi, that we're going to bring transformation, but also that these guys are going to be transformed as well as they go to Malawi. Brilliant. So stay there because we're going to pray for you. But Adrian's just got something that she would like to share before we pray.
Oh, okay. Hopefully I'll remember it. I won't have to read my scrappy bit of paper. Sorry, I was just thinking the other day about you going out. Slightly envious in some ways, but, you know, she's going to Africa. And the phrase I got was, it's time to bloom. Okay, so... feels like you're being taken out of your normal situation, so your normal bunch, if you like. Sorry. So your one daffodil might look a bit pathetic, might feel a bit odd just on its own, but put the whole lot together actually and you've got a different bunch, but it makes a good bunch still, okay? But I felt very much God was saying it's time to bloom, and that's for all of you going. I know some of you it's your first time going out to Africa. For some of you, you've been before. For all of you, it felt like God was going to cause you to bloom. Brilliant. I don't know if that's going to happen while you're there. It may do, and you may be very aware of what God's doing. It may not happen for weeks, months, whatever, when you get back. But because you're going now, God is going to cause you to bloom in something that is different, okay? Will be surprising, maybe. It may not be what you're expecting, but he will do things. Going somewhere like Africa has an impact. It can't not. It doesn't matter whether it's your first time, whether you've been before. This will still have an impact. Every time you go, it has an impact on you. And... you also will have an impact on Africa. You're all talking about all the things you're going to do, which is really, really important. And you will leave lots of stuff behind when you come back. People will remember some of the stuff you teach them in, some of the stuff you train them in. What they will remember is you. And they will remember you giving up your time. That will be really, really important to them. You're giving up your time here, yeah, so that you can go and be with them there. And they will remember that. They will remember your face. Yeah. Your job is to go and to be. Yeah. Okay? Our job is to pray, yeah, which is so important. When you're out there, it's so, so important to know that people here are praying. Your daffodils won't bloom unless you put them in water. So our job is to ask God to keep you well watered while you're out there. Have a brilliant time. Brilliant.